Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense. Stay tuned to find out why Chicago's top realtors are choosing Dan Frio.
Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio, and I, of course, am Dan Frio. If you listened yesterday, so I hope you did, we discussed how you can renovate your home and why the programs such as an FHA 203K loan might be the best option for you versus, you know, a second mortgage, a home equity loan, or even just refinancing your house and trying to pull out as much cash as you can, because you're only going to get between maybe 80 or 90% of the house's current value. So today I asked Greg to come back in and discuss the alternatives to the FHA 203K programs. And again, let me throw this out there. If you like what you hear and you have any questions, or you want to set up a consultation with us to go over the best options for you, please give us a call at 630-338-1160 or go on the web at 1160mortgage.com. So Greg, thanks for coming back again today. Sorry,
I know invite me back.
It's not right around the corner, but thanks for making the trek in.
It's not that far. I can do it.
Okay. So the ball's in your court. Tell us the other options, or the conventional options of renovating your house without or not having to go with the 203K loan, or things that don't fit the 203K program that might fit into this program.
Right. Okay. So
hopefully that makes sense.
With the FHA 203K Limited or 203K Full, you have to remember that FHA is strictly geared for owner-occupants. You can do it with purchase or you can do it with refi. However, you have to be an owner-occupied. You can do single families, two flat, three flat, four flat, but you have to live there. The difference with the Fannie Mae home style, which is a conventional product, you don't have to live there. It can be your second home. It can be an investment home. Mm-hmm. You can do all the things you can do with FHA, only you can also put in pools and spas. Mm-hmm. And that is like the biggest thing people want to do with the 203K that they can't, right, that you can with the Fannie Mae stuff. The amount of down payment is a little higher. With the FHA stuff, you only have to put 3.5% down if you're purchasing.
Okay.
You have to put 5% down if you're going to live there. Otherwise, you need 15 to 20% to do a home style as an investment or a second home.
Okay.
So that being said, all the other things are the same. You don't need a plan reviewer. You may want one anyway, just so somebody's in your court. And then the way that they work the dollars comes out a little bit different. You know, FHA says, as long as you appraise within 110%, we will do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Fannie Mae looks at it a little bit differently, and they help you create the work write-up, but it can only be 50% of the after-improved value. So in other words, you bought a home for $100,000, and you put $100,000 into it, and the after improved value, according to the appraiser, was 210 or 220, you're fine. You're within that 50% range. It doesn't normally come up as a problem. I make sure that that's not the issue. You know, sometimes it could be, and we would just go FHA on that, okay, you know, if at all possible. But that is one of the biggest differences right there, is how they put their maximum dollar amount.
Okay, so walk me through this one more time. If it's, let's say it's my primary home.
Okay.
In my primary home, it's $250,000.
Okay.
And I owe $150,000. I'll just say
$150,000. Okay.
I want to put a pool in.
Okay.
And that pool is going to cost me a total of $40,000.
Okay.
So that puts me at $190,000. Walk me through that part of it. I owe $150,000. I need another $40,000. Let's say $50,000 for a pool. That puts me at $200,000.
Okay.
And should I be okay?
Oh yeah, you'll be fine with that.
Okay.
The reason you're fine with that, because again, it's 50% of the after improved value. So when the appraiser comes out and he says, "Oh, okay, they're putting a pool in," well, that's going to make it worth $270,000, or $300,000, or whatever he's going to say. So you can borrow up to $150,000 of rehab money if the after improved value is going to be $300,000. You see what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Okay.
I know it gets a little confusing, and that's why, one by one, I like to sit and talk to people about it so that they have a good understanding of why we're going the way we're going.
Got it. Okay. So the nice thing about this program is you can do it on investment properties. You cannot do the FHA 203K programs on investment properties.
Correct.
So that's, most of the time you don't want to sink in, or you don't have an extra $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 in cash sitting on the sidelines to fix up that rental property. Right. This is a way you can finance it. So what would be, if you had somebody with absolutely perfect credit and the value and the equity and all that of the property isn't an issue, What's the pros and cons of, and it's their primary home, what's the pros and cons of the FHA piece, 203K, and the home style renovation program? The picture I'm painting is you have somebody with a 780 credit score. They only owe half of the value of their house on a mortgage, and they need $50,000 to finish the basement and finish the kitchen.
Right.
It's a generic question, but I just want your thinking. Think out loud if you can what your thoughts would be.
So first of all, one of the first things I look at is they say, well, this is what we want to do. And, you said finish the basement and do the kitchen. Okay, fine. Well, as long as we're getting into this, though, let's be practical. Do you want to live through this again in another couple of years and do the bathrooms and the patio and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
So I make sure that this is all they absolutely need to have done. Then we look at the dollar amount.
Got it.
Because it doesn't make sense to encapsulate it in do 20% now, 20% next year, and so on. If you can get it all done at once, I would much rather do that.
Gotcha.
Especially with the Sterling credit that you said they have.
Right.
Now, some people, though, still want their house fixed up and don't have that Sterling credit.
Yeah.
For whatever the reason. And I don't judge that because I don't always have Sterling credit either. But that's what the FHA is for. FHA will do much better for those that have a little bit of battered background.
Okay.
If they, had credit card debt that was too high, or, 3 years ago they had to file bankruptcy, and, all that time has passed, but, now we can do an FHA mortgage on them.
Okay, got this one for you, and this is where we can help you in the consultation piece. So with this program, can I pay off credit cards?
No.
Okay.
No, you can't. The only way to pay off credit cards is like you were talking about with the refinance cash out.
Got it. So here's my thought process. Somebody wants a $50,000 to finish their basement and the kitchens, like we said,
right?
But they have $15,000 in credit cards out and a car payment.
Right.
We can actually pay off all those, reduce their monthly payments by couple hundred bucks and give them all the cash they need to fix the house.
You know, sometimes a refinance is the right way to go.
Okay.
If they have the equity. I mean, and I have told people that, you know, just because this is a specialty that I have, I don't insist that people do this because it's not right for everybody.
Right. So
I actually had one recently. I'll give you a prime example. They wanted to spend $30,000 in the kitchen and $10,000 in the bathroom. Their home was paid for, you know, completely unencumbered. I'm like, just go get a home equity loan and do it that way. It's going to be faster and easier for you.
Got it.
You know,
because the equity position wasn't an issue.
That's right. Equity position wasn't an issue. Credit wasn't an issue. You know, so there's a lot of reasons why.
Right.
Sometimes just that is enough.
And that's the nice thing about, you know, if you call, we're not trying to sell you on something to make us money. I always go back to people. I had a couple this week and they're like, you know, does it make sense to refinance? I ran the numbers. I'm like, nope, doesn't make any sense. You know, so I make money by doing the mortgage, but I'm not going to do a mortgage for you if it makes no sense to you, but puts a, you know, paycheck in my pocket.
Right,
that's
right.
Not fair.
At the end of the day, we got to look at ourselves in the mirror.
Yep.
And God's always with us, so we want to make sure that we're honoring that.
I've been doing this for 30 years, and I'm not here to burn a bridge or have a bad review.
Nope.
So, okay, when we come back, we're gonna continue with this discussion. And at the end of the show, I'm going to give you the credit hack that I always promise. I forgot to do it yesterday, but I'll give you a little credit piece of advice on how to maybe give a pop to your credit scores. So please stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. Today, Greg and I are talking about home renovations. You're fixing up your house. You're redoing your kitchen, your basement. You're putting on an addition. You're doing a whole bunch of other things. When you're doing this, I'll probably say 9 times out of 10 because I refinished my kitchen and basically the first floor of my home. And you always run into something. There's an issue somewhere, somehow, some way. Go through some issues or some. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly where you're going with this. I just did floors in my house, and I had a budget of X, and I'm $5,000 over budget.
Yeah,
because I didn't think about the fact that I should do the patio door. We should probably get the kitchen counter done since I have to take all the cabinets out anyway, you know, stuff like that. So all of a sudden I am scrambling to find the money elsewhere because I was just doing it from my savings.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's really nice with all of these renovation loans that we do is we automatically take 15% of the repair amount. So if it's $50,000, we take 15% of $50,000 and we add that to the renovation funds.
Okay.
And we do it specifically so if you open up a wall and you find out, oh, wow, I got to redo this electrical in this wall or this plumbing is bad or whatever.
So a slush fund, in essence.
Right. It's called a contingency fund.
Okay.
You know, so it's contingent on finding what the issue is.
Right.
Now, most of the time, especially on the newer homes, most of the time it's not an issue and we don't need that full 15%. However, towards the end, as you see, you don't need that contingency fund. You can use it to also upgrade, maybe get a better countertop, top, or nicer hardware for the cabinet fronts or a more plush tile on the floor, something like that. It can be used that way also.
It's like your tax refund. You never put in savings.
Right. Oh, no. Well, only for a minute.
It's like, let's just blow it.
So exactly. However, if you don't use that money, you have the ability to just flush it back down on the mortgage. And what I mean by that is, say it was $10,000 in the contingency fund. When you're all done and you haven't used a contingency fund, they take $10,000 off the dollar amount of your mortgage.
Cool.
So they reduce the principal. It doesn't change the payment. They just reduce the principal.
And it'll probably pay off your house a couple years early, which even saves you more money.
Absolutely.
So let me go. I had a client recently that we did, and they put on a second story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had to live. They couldn't live in the house.
Yeah.
So they had to get, unfortunately, they had the money to do so because of what you're going to describe to us. They had to live in a hotel. They actually had to get two hotel rooms.
Wow.
Because of the, you know, between them and the kids and everything else.
Right.
So how do you afford two hotel rooms on top of the rehab because you can't live in the house on top of your mortgage payments?
Right.
Cool trick you got. So, I won't say trick, but it's cool planning. Great planning.
In a way, it is kind of a trick because FHA is the only one that does this. You know, when you have a larger dollar job like that and you're doing a full 203K, you can roll up to 6 months' mortgage payments into the mortgage. So if your mortgage payment was $2,000 a month, and you can roll up to six of those, so $12,000 into the rehab funds, because they don't want you, you know, living off your charge cards, taking all your savings out. At the end of the day, the bank really does want this to work out for you.
Right.
And one of the things that they found out doesn't work out is when they put living expenses on a 28% charge card, or they clear out their savings account just to live because they're paying two payments.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be 6 months either. If it's a little bit smaller job, but they still can't live in the house, we can do 1 month, 2 months, you know, all the way up to six.
Yeah, that's a great feature because, like I said, in the one that I just closed, they basically put on a whole second story. Well, obviously, they can't live down below. You know, if the thing caves in, we got major problems.
Right.
And they're like, you know, there's no way I can afford my mortgage payment. You got to eat out every night. There's a lot that goes into it. And this was a lifesaver for them.
Right.
You know, because they wouldn't have been able to do it otherwise.
Well, and actually then if you're going to do something like that, you can get into one of those long-term hotels.
Yeah.
I forget what they're called.
Extended stay.
Yeah, extended stays. Yeah. And, you know, have a little bit more of a home-type atmosphere.
Right.
Because you're going to be there for a few months.
Theirs was a great example of going down the wrong path. Here's what I mean. Here's what they did. They had equity in their home because they've been there for about 15, 18 years.
Okay.
So they went to the bank and they pulled out, they maxed out the mortgage on the refinance cash out.
Took out all the equity.
So then they start redoing the house or putting the second addition on. They get the studs in, they get the electrical in, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh boy, we're out of money.
Yeah.
So now you can't go back in and refinance again because you've already taken out all the money. The house isn't worth anything more because it's not done.
It's actually worth less.
Yes. So because nobody wants to get into that position. They heard me on the radio. They called and I'm like, I got the perfect program for you. We just recently did it a couple weeks ago and they're ecstatic. We thought we were going to be in a shelled house for the rest of our life.
I just had the same type of situation. With the caveat of he had put on the room addition and he had that all under permit. But when he went to do the electrical and the plumbing and all that, he didn't put that under permit.
Uh-oh.
So it's sitting on a slab and he's cutting into the concrete to put the drain in for the bathroom and all that.
Yeah.
And he runs out of money. And, you know, he comes to us and he's like, well, what do I do now? So, okay, well, first of all, you have to realize you're going to have to go back and get the permit and get the inspections, and we'll have to get everything fixed up to code, then finish it off. It's going to cost you a little bit more. Had you done this in the first place, we would have never let you get in that position.
Right, yeah.
You know, I had one in Texas just recently where the guy comes in, he's fixing the foundation in the basement. Well, he didn't do it right. He wants a payout, though. The plan reviewer comes out, looks at it, says, you didn't do it right, and let me see your permit. He goes, oh, I didn't have the permit.
Oh, boy.
You don't get a dime until, A, it's done right, and, B, you have a permit.
Yeah.
That's the protection.
Right. And it might seem, you know, so many people think, well, you know, I know what I'm doing. That's too many hurdles for me to jump. It's like insurance. Yeah. You know, you pay and you, I write out that check every month and it just ticks me off. But then my basement flooded about 6-8 months ago and I'm like, oh, I hope I got insurance. And I call and it's like, oh, I got insurance.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, it's, you know where I'm going with that one.
No, absolutely.
So, okay. So that's, you know, again, I'm going to recap what we talked about on the renovate. If you're looking to do something to your house, and the reason is, you know, unless you're moving, a lot of people didn't really put much money into their homes in the last 10 years because, you know, 10 years ago,
horrible.
It was terrible. House prices just went in half. So you're thinking, you know, I'm paying on a house that I owe more on anyways.
Exactly.
Why am I going to put more money into it?
Right.
Now we're back to, in a lot of cases, we aren't at the tippy top where we used to be, but now you have equity in your home and you neglected your house. You know, again, in my neighborhood, probably every fifth house is getting a new roof put on.
Well, we all struggle to just make ends meet.
And it's,
a lot of people were unemployed and everything else.
Yeah.
I get it.
I get it too. And I have two neighbors. They're both putting on roofs. They're $15,000. They don't have $15,000 just sitting in their side account. They got two kids in college and everything else.
Uh-huh.
But they have the equity in the house because they've been there for 15 years.
Right.
So it was like, well, let's do this.
And they don't have near the equity in the house that they did before the crash.
And a lot of times, especially if you've been in the house for 15 years and have that mortgage, you can do this and really not increase your mortgage payment.
Right.
Like the people that that put on the second edition, I'm almost sure their house payment is the same as it used to be, and they got like $100,000 to put on that addition.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of reasons. So please, if you're looking to do this, give us a call. The best way to get me, and you'll get me personally, is call me at 630-338-1160. And again, all the themes behind this is 1160. If you're listening right now live on the radio, you are listening to AM 1160, Hope for Your Life Radio. I'm Dan Frio. I've been on here for 12 years. I'd love to help you. If you're one of those that just really like to do everything online, you can do that. Just go to 1160mortgage.com. That's 1160mortgage.com. There's everything you need there. You can apply online. You can check out, you know, the different programs we have. You can do calculators. There's a whole slew of things you can do. So that's it for today. I want to thank Greg.
Give him the credit.
What's that?
The credit thing.
Oh, my credit hack. Oh, geez. Almost forgot. Okay. Credit hack of the day. On your credit cards, make sure or try to pay the payment on your credit card before the statement comes. If you can, if you can't, pay it immediately when you get your credit statement. Don't wait the week or two that you have in limbo, because what happens is if you wait that duration, most of the time the credit card is issuing you or pushing your data to the credit agencies. During that time, so let's say, for example, you have a $2,000 credit card with a $2,000 credit limit, and you're like, Dan, I pay it off every month. Well, you might be paying it too late. So if you pay it before the statement comes in, and everything's online right now, or immediately when you get the statement, most of the times your payment's going to post prior to that data getting pushed out to the credit bureaus. Thus, it'll show a zero balance on your credit report, thus increase your credit scores. That's my hack of the day. Thank you so much. Please come back tomorrow. Love you. God bless. Take care.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
You betcha.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense.